بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. So today we continue with Surah Al-Kahf from verse number 22. And in verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they said that they were three and the fourth was their dog. And some said that they were five and the sixth was their dog. And all of this is estimation, رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ. They're simply estimating without any knowledge. And Allah says, وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. Some said that they were seven and the eighth was their dog. قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Say, my Lord is aware of their number. Very few know other than Him. Now, the fact that Allah negates three and five and then is silent at seven, pretty much the bulk of the Muslim scholars have said they were seven in number. And in fact, the story of the seven sleepers of Ephesus, as I mentioned yesterday, our books of history mention that different groups of Christians were having a big debate. Nestorians were saying one thing and another group was saying another thing. And so Allah mentions some of them said three, some of them said five, and these are mere estimations out of complete conjecture. And some said seven and the eighth was their dog, and then Allah is silent at this, and this affirms that they were seven in number and the eighth was their dog. And then Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, I know how many they were. As for you, فَلَا تُمَادِي فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Don't argue with them except for an argument that is ظاهر. What does this mean? Don't argue with them except for an argument that is ظاهر. There's two main opinions about what this means. The first is that don't argue with them unless you have solid knowledge. Zahir means here, hujja. You know what you're talking about. Don't argue with them over things that you don't have knowledge about. So if you argue, argue with knowledge or else remain silent. If you want to debate, debate with knowledge or else remain silent. And notice here, one of the constant themes of Surah Al-Kahf that we have always seen is what? Speak with knowledge or else don't speak at all. This is one of the constant themes of Surah Al-Kahf that we find from the beginning all the way up until here, that Allah warns us about speaking without knowledge. Allah criticizes those who speak without knowledge. Allah chastises those who say about Allah that which is not true. And here once again, our Prophet ﷺ is told, if you wish to debate, make sure you have knowledge. And this is a very important point for us here in this land. Not everybody is qualified to give da'wah through the tongue. Everybody is qualified to give da'wah through your actions. We can all act Islamic. And we can also preach the basic, what do we believe? But not everyone is qualified to debate. Not everyone is qualified to respond to argumentation. And therefore, if you don't know, فَلَا تُمَارِي فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Don't have a debate with them unless you have knowledge about what you're talking about. This is one interpretation. And it is of course valid. Another interpretation, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Don't argue with them except an outer arguing. ظاهر here would mean outer versus باطن means inner. And what this means is a beautiful point here, and that is our Prophet ﷺ is told, don't make this argumentation emotional. Don't make it seep into your heart because you know you have the truth. And they are not guided in this matter. They don't know the story. So even if you're going to debate, don't make it something that will affect your psyche. Don't become psychologically depressed and involved. And we all know that when we have an argumentation that goes to our hearts, it ruins our life. We can't think except about this issue. It makes our life difficult for us. So our Prophet ﷺ is being told, if you're going to debate them an outer debate. This is a frivolous matter. The Ashab al-Kahf, and who were they and how many were they? Don't let it get to your heart. And this shows us, the da'i, the one giving da'wah, he prioritizes. Not every issue is of the same importance as the other. وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And don't ask any of them about this matter. Why? Because you have certain knowledge, they don't have certain knowledge. Once again, the issue of knowledge and certainty, the issue of going to the people of knowledge. Allah says in the Quran, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know.
فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And here Allah says, don't ask them because they don't have any knowledge. And this applies even more so once again to our religion. Brothers and sisters, when you're facing a dilemma, when you don't know an answer to something Islamic, go to the people of knowledge. Don't go to those who don't have knowledge. فَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْ أُمَعَدَى. Our Prophet is told, don't, literally, تَسْتَفْتِ means get a fatwa. Literally. فَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ. Don't go and get a fatwa from them because they don't have any knowledge. Allah has told you that which is certain. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. And never say about anything that I will do something tomorrow. إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except if you add on, inshaAllah. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. And remember your Lord if you forget. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. And make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, guide me to something even better than what I had in mind. Something even better than what was the initial plan. Now this verse is a very profound verse, and its reason for revelation goes back to the story of why Surah Al-Kahf came down. If you remember, when the Quraysh came, the Prophet ﷺ confidently said, tomorrow I'll give you the answer. And he did not say, inshaAllah. And he assumed that our Lord would reveal revelation for him. And therefore the revelation was delayed for 2 solid weeks. Then Surah Al-Kahf comes down. And our Lord very mildly chastises the Prophet ﷺ that this is not the way you should have done it. That wahi does not come down when you snap your fingers. That I am the Lord and I will send down when I want to send down. And it is not your prerogative to command when it will come. And subhanAllah, if this is what our Prophet ﷺ is told, how about us? This teaches us adab. It teaches us manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It teaches us who is the Lord and who is the one that Lord is controlling. Who is the Rabb and who is the Marboob. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assumed that this question has come. Khalas, the answer will come tomorrow. And he made an assumption that he should not have made. So Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ. Never say to anything, tomorrow I will give you the answer. Tomorrow I will do this. إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except if you add on, inshaAllah ta'ala. And this is common etiquette that we are all aware of, brothers and sisters. We never speak about something of the future that we want to do, except that we add on, inshaAllah. InshaAllah, next year I will go for Hajj. InshaAllah, next year I will start this degree. InshaAllah, next year, so you or tomorrow or next month, you put on this InshaAllah because you do not know what will happen, Allah knows. Because this is a proper manner of displaying etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also realize that this InshaAllah, it is only said when you mention an action that you are going to do in the future with certainty. If you put on, I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, you don't have to say inshaAllah. Or if you mention a plan and not the actual action, I plan to go for Umrah. Okay, you're planning to go, there's no inshaAllah here. Right? If somebody says, are you going to go for Umrah next year? I plan to go. You don't need to add on inshaAllah. Why? Because you are referencing the plan in your heart which is current and now. You don't need to mention inshaAllah here. However, if you said, I will go next year, here you must say inshaAllah. So what I'm trying to say is as follows. There's a difference between narrating the current circumstance. I am planning to go for Umrah. Okay, you're telling him the truth, I'm planning to go. Versus saying you're going to do it. And if you look at the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. This is certainty. This is I will do. When you get to that stage, you need to add inshaAllah. But if you're talking about generics, if you're talking about a plan that is current, I'm seeing if I'm able to go for Umrah or not, you don't have to say inshaAllah. Of course, if you do, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, by the way, I have to comment here that subhanAllah, many of our brothers and sisters, they have lost the plot when it comes to inshaAllah. They don't know when to say it. Sometimes they add it on to things that you don't need to say it. You don't need to say inshaAllah when you give a response to something current and right here and right now. How are you doing? Alhamdulillah, inshaAllah. Doesn't work that way, right? What's your name? Fatima, inshaAllah. if you say something current, you don't need to add on inshallah. Inshallah is odd enough for something that has to do with the future. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Another point as well, just a fiqh point here, that if you ever make a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is always advised to add on inshallah. Say, wallahi, I will feed 10 people. Wallahi, I will fast 1 month. Whatever the reason you might have made that, just add on inshallah. Because if you add on inshallah and you're not able to fulfill it, then you don't have to pay the penalty for the qasam. Whereas if you didn't say inshallah and you're not able to fulfill it, then you have to pay the penalty. Right? And therefore, anytime you make a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's always advised and encouraged that you add on directly connected. You don't add on a year later. No, that's not going to work. You add on right then and there when you make the qasam, right? That you say, inshallah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. Remember your Lord when you forget. So what this means, if you had a conversation with somebody, you told him, yes, tomorrow I'm going to come to your house. This is now a certainty. Then you go back to your car, you say, subhanAllah, I forgot to say, inshallah, you say it right then and there. Inshallah, I will go to his house. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. When you forget, immediately you add on that, inshallah. This applies to a statement, not a qasam, by the way. Right? A qasam, the inshallah has to be connected. As for a statement, you say next year, next month, then when you forget it, you remember. Just like the Bismillah when you're eating, same thing. When you forget to say Bismillah when you're eating, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? When you remember, say it even if it's in the middle of your food. So, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Now, another interpretation is that this is a generic verse. Has nothing to do with what has preceded. Whenever you forget, remember Allah. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Whenever you forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also a valid point of the Qur'an, that Allah is saying, never be forgetful of me. Whenever you forget about me, remember me again. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَهْدِينِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. And make dua, oh Allah, give me even more correct and even better than what I had in mind. And the reference here is, when the Quraysh came to ask for Ashab al-Kahf, and they wanted two or three facts, Allah revealed 2 pages of detail. And this is the point, that they wanted a little bit and they got back a lot. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَهْدِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. Also, there is a beautiful miracle here, and that is in the delay of the Prophet ﷺ, even though it caused tension to him at the time. Can you imagine waiting every day, the Quraysh coming? What is the response? What is happening? And he's waiting and it's not happening. Even though it's tense, what does it show? It shows us that the Quran is not the speech of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It shows us he's not sitting at home composing verses. Because if that had been the case, then immediately he would have told them the revelation the next day. The fact that he has to wait for 15 days demonstrates that he is not the author of the Quran. That the Quran is not in his control. And then when the story comes, it silences the Quraysh, because the amount of details is much more than what even the Yahud gave them. It's much more. And in fact, the Quran then refutes what they had said. They're 3, no, they're 5, no, they're actually 7. And the number of years we're going to talk about as well, 300. Allah tells them more information than they even knew. So imagine here, the Quraysh's astonishment, that after waiting 15 days, when the wahi comes, it is much more powerful than they were expecting. And this is what this phrase means. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَهْدِينِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. One small point here, complete tangent, but this inshallah business brought it back. It's a halal joke, and it's halal to make jokes even in the nights of Ramadan. And this is a joke we did at the University of Medina. When I was studying, we would have these jokes all the time. We had, mashallah, halal jokes for the most part, alhamdulillah. And this inshallah brought it back for me, there was a village in a certain land, that the students from this village were well known, that they had strange names. And this is true, I met some of these brothers. A small village in a certain land, they always had interesting names. And they had names like Bismillah, like MashaAllah. You know, they would call them this. This was their name. So the joke goes as follows. I was told this when I was in Medina. That the teacher comes in, the first day of class, he's taking roll call. And he gets to one of the brothers of this village. And he says, what's your name? The brother says, Insha'Allah. Now, in the Arab culture, when you say Insha'Allah, when you're asked a question, what does this mean? What's your name? Insha'Allah means I'll tell you in a while, right? So, Insha'Allah means just wait, I'll tell you in a while, right? So the teacher asks again, Ish ismak? He said, Insha'Allah. Yani, I'll tell you in a while. He gets very irritated. He goes, Ya akhi, I'm asking, what is your name? And he says with the strongest, Insha'Allah, means I'll tell you. So the teacher gets so frustrated, he says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. His friend from the village says, Shaykh, I'm here. In any case, inshallah, that was a halal joke. And inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.